Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 36 through 48, read by Jordana Wright.
While they were talking, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why did doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
The first letter of John the Elder, chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He's revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous."
I remembered something recently. Around the time that I was expecting my first baby, so about 8 years ago, something odd started to happen. At the time, I was living in an apartment at the corner of Leslie Street and Eglinton Avenue. I was in ministry here at Jubilee, and so my commute was not long. If you're familiar with Toronto, you know that it's about a 10-minute drive, as long as traffic is okay. So for about a week, as I drove to the church along Leslie Street and across Lawrence Avenue and then up Underhill Drive, I was starting to notice the pedestrians in a new way. I would see one over here and one over here, and then I would get this wild rush of emotion, like a mixture of wonder and love and affection. And as I passed each person, I would be thinking, "Aw, you were just a baby once." Now, this didn't just happen on the commute. If you happened to be sitting in church on one of the Sundays around this time 8 years ago, chances are I looked out at you with the same big emotion and thought, "Aw, Bill, you were just a baby. Aw, Joan, you were just a baby. You were so loved." Now, I don't want to say that this was all because of being pregnant, but I will say that this was also around the time that I watched The Curious Case of Benjamin Button for the first time and sobbed for a full 30 minutes. Life was changing. Strange things were happening. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The letter we call 1 John was written to an early expression of church. This was an early Christian community, a post-Easter community in the days before Easter was even called Easter. It was a community that was made up of diverse people who had been moved to belief, to faith, by the life and witness of Jesus and his disciples. Jesus' ministry on earth had finished. The events of his crucifixion and resurrection had passed. There is an excitement at the beginning of something new, isn't there? A kind of fervor at the beginning of a new relationship or new studies, after a move, or at the beginning of a new job. It was like that. Life had changed dramatically for these early believers. Some of them found themselves at odds with the faith and traditions that they had been born into, the way of life of their mothers and fathers. Others were finding themselves at odds with the prevalent culture in which they still lived and operated. They were still fully present in their neighborhoods and cities, or with their families and friends. Yet they found themselves oddly removed from those spheres as they followed the way of Jesus. It was exciting at first, a new community, like-minded folks, baptisms, and some wild miracles happening among them. But now, as 1 John is written, the dust has settled. So we find the author, traditionally called John the Elder, writing, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason that the world does not know us is that it did not know him." The reason the world does not know us. That's it. That's the problem. That's the unease we're feeling. When the dust settled, they felt out of sync with the world, unknown and misunderstood by their neighbors. They had been so moved by the way of Jesus, by his death and resurrection, by the hope of God's love made known. They had been so moved by all of this that it had changed the way they lived. Their values and practices were turned on their heads as they followed this Jesus, and they found themselves out of sync. This year, I don't find myself responding to Easter in the same way, this post-Easter time. I'm not sure if I'm familiar with the same dust-has-settled post-life-changing paradigm shift and unease that these early Christian communities, this early Christian community was experiencing. Today, my post-Easter anxiety is wondering whether I've left my Easter egg decorations up too long. Is it time now? How about my Christmas lights? Yeah, no, I feel certain that it is time to take down the Christmas lights. But that sense of disconnectedness, seeking and uncertainty, that feels familiar. It is that feeling when, as a child, you felt lost at school, as though everyone else had gotten the guidebook to life and learning except you. Or that moment when you gather with old friends or family and realize that your worldview and values have completely changed from what they once were, as though the language that your heart speaks has changed and you cannot find the words to translate it. Or it's the persistent, from the beginning sense that who I am is different from the person that others expect me to be. It's that moving from feeling known and understood to being unknown. I recognize those feelings. And they can feel lonely. They can feel scary. They're certainly disorienting. I wonder, though, if unknowing, being out of sync, might call us to something else. There had to be moments when those early followers of Jesus asked themselves, "What in the world is going on here? Resurrection? Jesus seemingly appearing like a ghost to his disciples? He says he's not a ghost, but sounds pretty ghosty. Can the witness of the disciples be trusted? Is there room for our questions? How can we know that any of this is true? How can we know that God is at work in this?" Within the community that the elder wrote to, the people had started to question what mattered most about their faith. Do we understand Jesus as mostly divine? Do we understand Jesus as mostly human? How does that affect the way that we live our lives? How does that affect the way that we do church? Into this context, the elder writes of his own experiences and the experiences of the earliest disciples. We knew this. We experienced this truth. We walked with him and saw incredible things and moments of beautiful grace. We tasted the bread that he broke. We drank the wine that he poured. He washed our feet. We saw life as he breathed into those who followed him, who came into contact with him, who he healed, who he invited. We all experienced it. But to you, readers, to you, new church, this might not be enough for you. Maybe our experiences are not enough even to sustain our own faith. What you need to know, writes the elder, is that you have been born of God. You are called the children of God. That is what we are, children of God. God is revealed to us in the context of relationship, even in the midst of our unknowing. Our relationship with God and with each other, is the reason we feel so out of sync with the world. Some of us do know God because we walked with Jesus, or because he washed our feet. But that doesn't keep us when the dust has settled. We find God in the ongoing, ever-developing relationship we have been called into. My dad, who is a retired minister, used to joke that he would finish every sermon by saying, or that he should finish every sermon by saying, "But then again, what do I know?" As the dust settled, this early church had entered into a time of unknowing and uncertainty. But it was in this unknowing that they were called to find God. What we do know is this: when Christ is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. The writer's telling them, we know some things now, but there is so much that is not yet. An unfolding understanding of the love of God. As the letter progresses, the author will call the church back to the commandment that they are familiar with, that we have heard before. Beloved, let us love one another. Because love is from God. Everyone who is born of God knows love. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is holy mystery. God is not revealed to us by looking up or digging in when we become uncertain. God is revealed to us in the mystery and in the unknowing. It is here that we are invited to listen and imagine what new things we might learn about God and about ourselves. Without a doubt, feeling out of sync is uncomfortable. Unknowing and feeling unknown or misunderstood is isolating and frustrating. Once in the face of change, when I was getting ready to move my family, I actually broke out in a full body rash for about 2 weeks. Change, when we do not know what to expect, well, it can be terrible. But maybe it is in these places of unknowing that we come close to God, who we cannot fully know. That overwhelming, odd emotion that came over me in the early days of pregnancy, it only lasted for about a week. The memory of it has stuck with me. Because I wonder whether it captures a glimpse of what it means to be born of God, to be called children of God. Perhaps God experiences creation and us with this overwhelming, adoring love. Maybe our very existence is rooted in the outpouring of God's love. A love that looks at us and thinks, "Ah, there you are. You are so loved." And this framework of a mothering God is lovely, but it does not capture all of God. In 1 John and throughout the Bible, we find an image of God as Father. Here, it is an attempt to explain to uncertain believers how very loved we are by God. God as mother or father can be helpful sometimes, but we know that they're imperfect images, because our experiences of these relationships are imperfect and at times unloving and just the opposite of everything that we are called to. And so we find other ways of describing God. Is God Father? Yes. And Mother? Yes. And Friend? Oh yes, that makes sense. And God in love seeks relationship with us. And God is my shelter and high tower. And God is the heart of my own heart. It is God who hears the language of my heart when I call. It is God who chooses me. And God is known to me through the gladness of my heart. And God is known to me when I rest in green pastures. And God is known to me somehow in all of this, and yet fully mystery. Holy mystery, unknown, and yet deeply known. And it is God who knows me and calls me beloved, my child. Being out of sync, feeling like we do not quite fit in, finding our worldview changed or lives changed is discomforting. Because the truth is that there is so much we do not know. So much we do not know about God, so much we do not know about ourselves, so much that we do not know about the world. And yet, these few short verses that we have considered today seem to be calling us into that unknowing, inviting us to embrace the uncertainty, inviting us to consider how God is at work in ourselves, in our neighbors, throughout the world, in the midst of unknowing. So we stop and we pay attention and find the unknowable God here, calling us beloved. Amen. Thank you.
Loving God, the world has been confusing this week. It seemed as if summer had arrived all of a sudden. Furnaces off and air conditioners on. Easter come and gone, all but forgotten, so fast. But we know that spring will return. And we ask that Easter return as well. Return and stay with us. We don't want to live in a time of endings. We wish to begin. There is violence in our world and in our neighborhoods. Wars to which we have become accustomed and seem to find acceptable. There's nothing we can do. Anger, fear, and hopelessness fueling acts of violence in our streets and even our homes. God, we pray for the victims of war and violence. We pray for the perpetrators. And we pray for ourselves. We need to feel your presence. Let this not be an end, but a beginning. A promise of Easter that we can find remedy instead of revenge. That we can take violence out of our response and let Easter guide our actions. We need you, God. There is racism in our world, in our neighborhoods, and even in our hearts. Some of it's intentional, some systemic, some barely noticeable, but all of it shuts others down. It keeps our communities, our world, from being whole. God, rise up within us and help us imagine what we might do if we truly made space for one another to speak and to create, to love, to shape the world that we share. Let us not give in to an ending of hope and promise, but instead help us to begin to see each other as beloveds, all of us, your children. There is injustice in our world and in our lives. Some of it affects us. Some of it we ignore. Most of it we simply live with. Ableism, ageism, classism, economic disparity, homophobia, transphobia, simple poverty and hatred. We live with it. Because it seems that there is nothing we can do. It's just everywhere. It's big and we are small. Let Easter be with us. And may it inspire new beginnings. New ideas, new efforts, new relationships, new friendships. Let us rise and shine. God, do not let us be overwhelmed because we can't do it all. Help us pick something that we can do today. Let us find change within ourselves and let us share it. Let it affect the people in our lives and let that be the beginning of changing the world. A world that you love. A world that we love when we take the time to revel in creation. A warm day with the sounds of life alive in our ears. A long talk with someone who knows us and requires no backstory. A new friend who's ready to share their story and hear ours for the first time. Morning coffee. A relaxed meal. Summer plans and graduations on the near horizon. God, the temperatures will drop again. But please let the warmth and promise of Easter remain with us. The promise of new life and an invitation to begin. We pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray with these words.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.